The latest episode of the Next 5 podcast is all about health prevention and vaccines. I speak to Kate Hashey at GSK.
For every dollar invested in improving health, there's an economic return of $2 to $4.
Murray Aitken at IQVIA Institute for Human Data Science.
The benefits of adult vaccination are compelling.
And David Sinclair at the International Longevity Centre.
Preventable conditions amongst those aged 50 to 64 in the UK cost $27 billion a year.
Listen to the full episode of the Next 5 wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Hard Currency, the weekly podcast of the Financial Times, which looks at the foreign exchange market. I'm Roger Blitz, and on the basis that what goes down in this forex world means that something is going up, we're going to look at the likely beneficiaries of the dollar's ongoing decline, namely the euro, the pound, and emerging markets. Which of these do investors think is strong enough to enjoy a sustained rally? Steve Barrow, forex strategist at Standard Bank, is my guest this week. Steve, where would you place your bets, let's say, over the next 3 months? Is it behind the euro, the pound, emerging markets, or none of the above?
I'm not sure it is any of the above. I think if we start backwards, the emerging market currencies, a number of them have rallied quite hard against the dollar. And I think many of them do have good long-term prospects. My problem is that I think many financial market prices might be slightly overextended, so including equities, for example, but also within that group, emerging market currencies. So I fear that probably on a three-month basis, we could see maybe something of a correction there. As far as the pound is concerned, well, that's going to start getting bogged down in the Brexit negotiations. As far as the euro is concerned, I think, given that takes us over the French election period, and given that I don't think that Marine Le Pen will win that election, right, then obviously the euro could be the better one amongst those three. But come back to what I said at the start, and that is that my concern is that financial markets maybe have got a little bit carried away with themselves just recently. I think the turnaround we've seen in equities, or the slide we've seen in equities, may be an indication of what will continue to come through in the next few months. And in which case, I would actually prefer maybe the safer haven currencies. I know the yen has already rallied a long way, maybe the Swiss franc as well. They may be the picks for the short term.
Okay, that tells us that this is a very short-termist market. No surprise there. But as fast as people want to get out of equities and sell off the dollar, they probably want to get back into it quite soon again.
Well, I think, it's difficult in some respects to determine the trends. And certainly if you look at the performance, for instance, of currency managers, I think by and large they've struggled. Not that that's necessarily that unusual, because, trading currencies is never easy. But probably in the environment that we're in at the moment, we had at the start of the year a lot of optimism for the dollar, and that's not really worked out. But then also we've not really seen the dollar collapse. Yeah. And a lot of the trends have been in a low volatility environment again, and that makes it difficult to determine where the trends are and how to trade the markets.
Of the elements that have kept the dollar lower, we're looking at the Fed's dovish hike, and we're looking at Trump disappointment. Which of these is more likely to come around faster?
That's a difficult question to answer, because obviously we don't know what's happening inside the Trump administration. A month ago, the Trump administration said that there was going to be major tax announcements within the next couple of weeks, and we're obviously still waiting for that. So the fact that we're bogged down in terms of healthcare, bogged down in terms of the travel ban, obviously a lot of that kind of disappointment is part of the reason why I think that the dollar has tended to backtrack. Mm. I think going forward, that certainly if we look for the rest of this year, for instance, I think what will happen is that the Trump factor will come back in to support the dollar again. And I think what the Federal Reserve does will support the dollar as well. I don't think we should forget some of the reasons that it was assumed after the election that the dollar would rise on a Trump victory. Those reasons include an expansion of fiscal policy, a possible border tax, a tax cut on profits that are repatriated from US companies overseas. All of those things are still very much in the mix. We just haven't heard as much detail on them as we'd like to see. And on the Fed, I think we'll see 4 rate hikes from the Fed this year, including the one we've already had. So I think that will help the dollar as well.
I mean, all of which is effectively gives us an investor sentiment that really is looking anxiously for reasons to get back and invest in the dollar. That's their instinct. They they did that extremely strongly in the fourth quarter of 2016, and they just want to get back into it.
Yes, and I guess the problem really, if you look at certainly if you look at data on positioning in the foreign exchange market, I think the problem is that many investors are already positioned for that view, and obviously some investors have probably bailed out of that position, and that may be part of the reason why the dollar hasn't been performing much better, basically because everyone owns it already.
On the other hand, you know, there is a good case for the euro, is there not? I mean, particularly if the eurozone growth gets stronger and we see the ECB pulling away from monetary easing. But you wrote this week that this might just be short-lived because, you know, political risk is never that far away. Even if we get past Le Pen and if we get past Germany, we've got possible Italian hiatus coming up at the start of 2018. So it might just be a short-lived euro strength window.
Well, yes, and I also think that with the ECB as well, the market might have got ahead of itself to some extent. I mean, I don't expect the ECB, for instance, to raise interest rates this year. If you look at where the market is priced in terms of the deposit rate, then the market is, you know, 50-50 for a rate hike in the deposit rate, you know, by the end of the year. And I just don't think that's likely at all. Inflation has moved up quite aggressively because of oil and some base effects, but both of those are unwinding now, so inflation will steady out. And I just don't think there's the momentum there really for the ECB to do anything other than broadly what it's doing at the moment.
And you think Italy is a potentially worse problem for the eurozone?
I would say I've always thought that, but that's partly based on the view that I've never really felt that Marine Le Pen had a significant chance in the French elections, and German elections could easily go to the SPD, the opposition party, and Merkel could lose as a consequence of that, obviously, but that would not necessarily have a significant bearing on Germany's attitude towards the EU, whereas Italy's attitude towards the EU, I think, is much more questionable and much more a problem, largely because Italian individuals, businesses, consumers have really suffered within EMU, much more so than French or certainly German individuals.
And the other reason perhaps to be sanguine about investing elsewhere other than the dollar is the prospect of US protectionism, which could very much undermine, you know, the case for investing, particularly in where would you say emerging markets is the biggest threat from protectionism?
I would say emerging markets. I think what's been interesting certainly in the last week is the way the market seems not really to have paid much attention to what happened at G20. And for me that's quite significant because, you know, I'm kind of...
This is this line which actually, or rather the line that didn't exist, which is to
resist protectionism.
Resist protectionism.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, for me, you know, having watched G20 and then G7, G8 meetings going back many more years than I care to remember, that was by far the worst one we've ever seen for discord amongst policymakers. Yes. And for me, I don't like to see discord amongst policymakers because to me that makes financial markets potentially quite vulnerable, and I think that's what's been missed to some extent. I know that, you know, equities have fallen over a little bit this week, and we've seen the yen get a bit stronger. But even so, I think in the context of that disappointment at the G20 meeting, which perhaps wasn't that unexpected, but nonetheless was a significant disappointment, and future fights that are to come as well. You know, we've had the Italian Prime Minister say we're going to really sort of take this issue to the US again at the G7 meeting that's going to take place in May in Italy. So this is going to be an ongoing fight, and I don't think markets like fights.
Okay, and there's a massive fight coming up, obviously, between the UK and the European Union over Brexit. Article 50 is about to be triggered next week. This is going to be front and centre of the currency world for the next few weeks, or do you actually think this is a bit overplayed and a lot of people just think it's their issue, you know, it's a domestic dispute?
I think it will be front and centre and probably in a negative way as far as sterling is concerned. I think if you look so far at most of the rhetoric about Brexit, it's come from the UK side because the Eurozone, or the EU rather, has always had the view we're not really going to discuss this issue at any great length until Article 50 has been invoked. And obviously, you know, that's going to happen next week. And then the EU, and you can see it starting to filter out already. Yeah. The EU is starting to talk about what shape the negotiations will take and what the UK might have to give up. And I think that that debate is going to, or those arguments from the EU are going to worry the markets. Yeah. So I think that sterling is probably going to go down.
Okay, my thanks to Steve Barrow of Standard Bank. So then, this time next week, Theresa May will have sent that Article 50 letter to Donald Tusk. Join us to hear about how the Prime Minister sold this apparently crucial moment in the history of the UK, how that letter was received and how the pound is coming out of it. Until then, from Hard Currency, it's goodbye.
The latest episode of the Next 5 podcast is all about health prevention and vaccines. I speak to Kate Hashey at GSK.
For every dollar invested in improving health, there's an economic return of $2 to $4.
Murray Aitken at IQVIA Institute for Human Data Science.
The benefits of adult vaccination are compelling.
And David Sinclair at the International Longevity Centre.
Preventable conditions amongst those aged 50 to 64 in the UK cost £27 billion a year.
Listen to the full episode of the Next 5 wherever you get your podcasts.